Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 81, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Andrea Ayers of Launch Grow Joy. Andrea grew a very successful t-shirt business, and she walks us through the steps that she took to make her business a success. She also shares with us tons of great actionable tips for anyone trying to grow a product-based business. I know you're going to get a lot of useful information out of this episode. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Andrea Ayers. She created her first business, Tees for Change, in 2007 and went on to sell over 20,000 t-shirts, which have been featured in over 200 magazines, newspapers, and TV shows. Her success in selling t-shirts led others to ask her questions about growing their own product-based businesses. So in 2011, she sold her t-shirt business and began focusing on helping other entrepreneurs through her blog and podcast, Launch Grow Joy. Andrea lives in Colorado with her family. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Sarah and Bethan. I'm super excited to be here today.
Andrea, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started in business?
Yeah, sure. So I have three kids. They are 3, 5, and 7. And I launched my first business actually a month before my 7-year-old was born. And I launched my business in April. He was born in May. So I sort of feel like being an entrepreneur and being a parent for me went hand in hand. I feel like I don't really know one without the other. And I launched my t-shirt business because my husband and I had just moved from New York City to Colorado. And I started looking for a job, but I was 5 months pregnant at the time. And needless to say, I had a really hard time finding a job. And, you know, in a lot of ways, that was good because it really made me think outside the box and think about, okay, what should I do if, you know, and it's obvious in a way, I'm glad that I'm not getting a job because I know I would probably be leaving that job after my son was born. So everything sort of worked out. And I really thought about, what do I love to do? What kind of business can I start? And I decided to launch an inspirational and eco-friendly t-shirt line. So that was in April. My son was born in May, and the rest is history, I guess.
So walk us through the early stages of developing that t-shirt business. You didn't have previous experience with apparel. So what made you land on that?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not sure why, but for some reason, when I was younger, when I was in college, there were two businesses that I wanted to start, and one was a t-shirt business, the other one was a soap business. I don't know why I had those in my mind, but when I was thinking about what business to start, I thought about, okay, what do I love to do? What kind of product would I be really excited about starting? And I knew I wanted to start a product-based business rather than a service, because at that time, I really felt like what I was most excited about was a product. So I looked at all of my interests, and I'm really interested, and I've always been really into inspirational quotes. So I decided to incorporate that into my t-shirts and have inspirational words and phrases on every single one of my t-shirts. And the other thing that I was interested in was really eco-friendly products and eco-friendly living. So I decided to add that onto my business and make only t-shirts that were organic. They were made out of bamboo. And on top of that, I decided to donate or to help to plant a tree for every t-shirt that I sold. So I knew at that time it definitely was not time for the soap business. I really had no soap making skills. I was not interested, nor did I have the time to learn how to make soap at the time. But I put that sort of on the back burner. And I knew that t-shirts was something that I was going to be really excited about. And I think one of the things that really excited me was the ability of a t-shirt to help someone express themselves. And I've always really been into expressing through quotes. For some reason, I don't know why, it's just been one of the things that I've been interested in. So launching this t-shirt business really seemed like the perfect combination of my skills, my passion. And in terms of skills, I don't mean skills like screen printing or making t-shirts, but I do have a degree in marketing, and I had worked before for a lot of different companies using my marketing skills. So I knew that marketing was not going to be the issue. So yeah, but I really had no apparel experience. And the first thing that I did is I really looked at, okay, what kind of t-shirts do I want to sell? What style, what colors? But the interesting thing is that I couldn't really try on any of those t-shirts because at that time I was pregnant and I was not making t-shirts for pregnant women. So I really couldn't try them on. So I would have my friends try things on and be like, oh, how does that fit? How does it feel? And sort of decide which t-shirts to go with from how they looked on my friends and family. And I was actually kind of sad that I couldn't really try them myself. I mean, I guess I could, but they just didn't look the same as they would on someone who was not pregnant. So it was quite an interesting journey, but it just felt right for me to do that. And I really just started with ordering a bunch of t-shirt samples, looking at fabrics, trying to think about who I wanted to sell these t-shirts to and would they like them. And it sort of all developed from there. And I looked into finding a screen printer to screen print my t-shirts and found someone really awesome here in Colorado. So it sort of all worked out step by step, one thing at a time. And as I was doing all of this, I was learning about the t-shirt industry. I was learning about screen printing and all of the different costs that go into everything. So I had to take all of that into consideration. And as that was happening, I also started to build my website. So I could sell my t-shirts online, and my website skills were by any means not excellent, but I did have some basic experience with setting up websites. So I felt like that was another skill that I had that really helped me to launch this business.
Was it difficult to locate those manufacturers and screen printers? Did it require a lot of upfront capital to work with them?
Yes and no. It was difficult to find the organic and eco-friendly t-shirts because this was back in 2006 and 2007 where many brands were just starting to explore the organic industry and they had, you know, just like a regular black or white or natural color t-shirt. So from that perspective, it was really difficult because I just could not seem to find the right manufacturer. And then I dug deeper. I started asking around and was finally able to find a couple of different companies. And I ended up trying a few different brands to see which sold best. And then by the time I sold my business 4 years later, the last 2 years of my business, I ended up actually having my own t-shirts custom made from the factory where I was buying the previous blanks from. So it took a while to get from buying blanks from other manufacturers to having my own custom t-shirts manufactured.
Wow, that's really impressive. And I know we're kind of digging deep here on the t-shirts, but I really am curious, what goes into that process of having the custom made t-shirt? I mean, could you walk us through a few of those steps?
Yeah, sure. So there's a couple of different ways to go about it. One way is you can get a pattern designer to pretty much sketch out and design the t-shirt that you want. But I wasn't quite ready for that. I think I didn't really have the resources to even know where to get a pattern designer and have this design. So I actually worked directly with the factory that I was buying the blank t-shirts from, and I ended up using one of their existing styles, but I had them make the t-shirts in colors that I wanted. So it was their same style, but just different t-shirts or different colors that they weren't selling to some of their other retailers or the companies that were using their t-shirts. So in a way, I feel like I took the easy road because I didn't have to invest in a pattern designer. But if you were to start from scratch, you would just hire a pattern designer and then someone to cut and sew and put everything together, and then you take that to the factory. But nowadays, there was actually a factory in the U.S. that I was talking to, and they had someone on staff who would do that. So I think it's pretty easy if you find the right factory to have them set up or manufacture t-shirts according to your own specs. But again, because I didn't know anything about apparel and how it all worked, I ended up just going with one of their existing styles and just had them change the colors.
Interesting. So I know you mentioned that you were selling your t-shirts online on your own website, but then you also began to sell your t-shirts in stores as well. How did that process happen? How did you start to get your t-shirt in retail outlets?
Yeah, so I started selling to retailers pretty shortly after I launched my website. And what I did is I really thought about, okay, what kind of stores could I see my t-shirts in? And I came up with gift shops and yoga studios and stores that would sell organic products like Whole Foods or maybe some of the food co-ops. But I really decided at first to just focus on the yoga studios because I was already familiar with that market. I do yoga. I was inspired to start this t-shirt business in a way in one of my yoga classes. So I thought that going to yoga studios would be the natural way to go. And because my t-shirts were inspiring, I thought that they would take to them right away. So I remember sitting, it was the whole weekend, I would just sit and go online, look for yoga studios and look at yoga studio directories and just write down their email address. And I would try to find the name of the studio owner or someone who was a buyer in their boutique. So I made this spreadsheet. By the end of the weekend, I had 3,000 stores on there. So it was pretty crazy. I was really, really determined to make this work. So I got my spreadsheet. Really, the only thing I would stop for was to eat and nurse my son, and I would just go back and get this spreadsheet together. And at the time, honestly, I didn't know about virtual assistants. I didn't know that you can hire someone to help me with this, so I just really did it all myself. And then when Monday came around, anytime my son would nap, I would go to my computer and start sending out emails to yoga studios asking if they would be interested in carrying my shirts. And it was so interesting because I got really great response right away, and they would say things like, oh, do your t-shirts have hang tags? And I would say, oh my God, what are hang tags? and how do I get those made? So I bought a whole bunch of business cards and thread and some safety pins, and I ended up printing hang tags. And I have to say, looking back, I it's pretty embarrassing at the quality of my hang tags on my printer at home, but I was really learning as I went along. And they would say, do you have a line sheet? Do you have an order form? Do you have this? And then I would say, oh, yes, I do have that. And then I would Google what that is and get that together. So it was really interesting at first, and it was a lot of just learn as you go and trying to figure out what these yoga studios needed. And within the first month, I actually sold out of my t-shirts, and I started with 96 different shirts. It was about $1,000 that I invested. So it definitely wasn't crazy huge startup costs. And I knew that if this wasn't going to work, $1,000, I could live with losing $1,000. It's not like I invested $10,000 or $50,000. So I kind of did play it safe. But when all of these yoga studios, because I contacted 3,000 of them, so so they would say, yes, I'm interested. Can I have 12 or can I have 15 or can I have 10? And I thought, oh my goodness, I only have 6 of each. What do I do? So then I went back to my printer and I said, okay, we gotta ramp up production. And I'm going to invest a little more. So the next time I had all of these orders in from the yoga studios, so I knew there was a demand. And the next batch of t-shirts that I bought, I can't remember exactly how much money I spent, but it was definitely more than $1,000. And I think I got at least maybe 70 or 80 t-shirts of each style, each size, so I would have enough to meet this demand that I was creating from all of these yoga studios. So that's how it really started, and then it kind of snowballed from there.
I just love the way you put yourself out there, Andrea, and you just hit the pavement essentially and reached out to so many different yoga studios. I just give you so much credit for that. And then, of course, you had the problem that every business dreams of having, which is high demand and, not enough inventory. I am curious, though, when you went back the second time after you had the orders from the first round of yoga studios, were you still having to put in some of your own money for that second order since you were still ramping up? Or did you have enough sales that kind of covered the cost?
So I actually had enough sales, and because I was doing everything myself, I didn't have to spend that money on hiring anyone else. And obviously later on, I learned the hard way that I shouldn't be doing everything myself, but that took a little while for me to learn. But at first, it was really any sales that would come in. I had a business bank account and I would only buy whatever I could afford with my money. And I feel like I don't know why I've always had this thing about only investing back in my business what I had and not going to debt. But I also think I had a different motivation because at the time, my husband was going to grad school, and I was the only one making money. So it's not like I had the luxury of taking money from our own personal account and then putting that into my business other than $1,000. So what I did is I put everything back from the sales back into the bank account and then use that to fund the next production.
I'm curious, were you doing all the shipping as well when you were getting the order back from the screen printer and then shipping it off to the different yoga studios and keeping track of all the sizes and inventory?
Yes, I was doing everything myself, and I actually had to get my husband's help at some point because I really couldn't send out all of these emails and do customer service and all of that stuff and still ship too. So I would print out my orders in the morning that came in. I would put them on my desk and kindly ask my husband if he had time to pack them. And sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't. But I did get his help, and I just remember every day before he used to go to class, you know, we would pack up our car with all of these packages that he had to drop off at the post office and UPS. And so it was definitely a team effort on that end. And then there came a point where about 2 years into my business, I got a huge order from Whole Foods. And I spent like literally a whole entire week just packing and shipping T-shirts. And at that point, I was like, okay, this has to end. I cannot be the only one packing and shipping. And by that point, my husband had finished grad school and he was staying full time at home with our son. So he didn't have that much time to help me anymore. And obviously, 2 years later, my son wasn't taking, you know, 5 hour naps. So I had a lot less time. So at that point, I thought, okay, it's time to look into having someone else ship and pack and store all of these T-shirts. So I interviewed a couple of fulfillment houses and found one that I really liked. And I shipped everything to them and they ended up doing all of my shipping and packing from that point on. But at the beginning, I did do everything myself with the help of my husband.
That sounds crazy. All of those different T-shirts and sizes.
Yeah, it was. And I remember, too, one other thing is that as I was buying more inventory, we were living in a two-bedroom apartment at the time. So we had to take our son's room and take the crib out of there and put him in our bedroom so that I can keep the T-shirts in his bedroom technically. So it definitely was crazy in the beginning, yeah.
I can just picture that, just swimming in T-shirts. That's too funny.
Yeah.
So I know that getting your brand featured in magazines and other places was also a big part of growing your business. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I've always been a really big fan of reading magazines, and I would see all of these products in there and I thought, how can I get in there? You know, do I need to know someone at the magazine? How does someone get in there? So I didn't really know what to do, but I started learning. I started asking other people. I took some PR courses and read as much as I could about how to get your products featured in the media. And my first feature was actually really interesting. It was this blog that one of my most popular T-shirts said, "Choose Happiness" on it. And there was a blog that was all about happiness. And I think their motto might have even been "Choose Happiness." I don't even know if it's around anymore. But I remember coming across that blog and I reached out to them and I said, "Hey, I just came across your blog. I love what you're doing. I think there might be some synergy here between what you're doing and what I'm doing. Would you be interested in letting your readers know about my T-shirt?" And I mean, I broke every rule of pitching and I made it all about me. and why they should feature my t-shirts. But then they said, yes, they said, oh, we love what you're doing. We would love to feature your t-shirts. Can you send us more information and a sample? So I sent them a t-shirt. They ended up featuring it on their blog, and I had a few sales from that. And that's when I was like, wow, this whole publicity thing and getting featured is pretty, pretty big and can have a big impact. So that's when I got more serious about PR, and I started learning how to do it, taking courses and so on. And I started focusing more. At first, I thought that if I do press releases and distribute them, then that's what was going to work. And I think a lot of people associate PR with press releases. And I invested all of this money into writing press releases and sending them out, and I wasn't really getting anything. So then I thought, okay, this is definitely not the way to go. I have to do something different. So I hired a PR firm. They actually approached me. And they said, we would love to represent your t-shirts and get them out there. And I ended up investing in them. It was a pretty hefty investment at the time. It was about $2,000 a month for a three-month period. And they were able to get me a few features, but I didn't feel like I just felt, and maybe every entrepreneur feels this, but I felt like I wanted more control over the pitching process and the publicity process. And I would email them and say, hey, where are you pitching my t-shirts today? What are you saying? Are you pitching this story or that story? And I was learning at the same time as they were doing my PR, I was learning about how to do it myself. So, and every time I would reach out to them, they would say, oh, yeah, we can't really tell you. We can only tell you if someone says yes, and we'll give you their mailing address so you can send them a sample. So I thought, okay, this isn't really how I want to do my PR, and I really want to be more involved. And they weren't letting me. And looking back and knowing what it takes to run a PR firm or do some PR for someone, I totally get it. You know, the last thing you have time for is to update your client on every single thing that you're doing, just because there's so much that goes into it. But I didn't quite get that at the time. So I got a little upset. I was like, all right, we're not renewing our contract. I'm going to do this on my own. And that's when I really started focusing on PR and doing it myself.
And what were those first steps that maybe you took to land your first mention in a major magazine?
Yeah, so the first thing that I did is I literally went to Barnes & Noble and picked up 10 magazines that I wanted to have my products featured in, and Oprah magazine was obviously one of them, along with some other ones. And I remember learning from these PR courses that I was taking that you have to be really specific and pitch for a certain section of the magazine. So I would look through each magazine at Barnes & Noble and think, okay, I think my t-shirts would be a great fit, you know, for the new products feature or for this feature, depending on the magazine. And then I would look at the masthead of the magazine, which is the front of the magazine where they tell you all of the editors and their titles. So then I would write down their name. Sometimes I would just like take a photo with my phone and, you know, and then go back and try to research online to find their email address. And if I couldn't find their email address, I would sometimes call their office and try to see if I can get it, or I would try different variations of the email address until one worked. So it'd be like, you know, first name dot last name, or first name only at magazine title, and so on. That kind of took a lot of time, and then I discovered what's known as a media list or a media database, and I ended up investing in a media database, and that it's super easy. You just type in the name of the person you want, and they give you their email address and phone number. So once I realized that I could do that, everything became a lot easier. But then when I would email them, I would say, hey, I love your magazine. I'm a huge fan. Only, you know, if I was, obviously. And then I would say, I was just reading through your last issue and noticed that you featured these types of products in the section. I'm wondering if you're interested in featuring, you know, our t-shirts. I think they would also be a great fit for this particular section too. And obviously with each email that I sent, I would see what's working, what wasn't working, what I was getting the most response to. And then I also learned about editorial calendars, which are basically a calendar of what magazines are working on the editorial side. And some of them are really detailed. They'll tell you like everything. Others just give you the general theme of the issue. But then I also learned as I started to do this that pretty much all of the themes in a magazine are the same year to year. So, I mean, not the whole theme, but a lot of the themes. So in November and December, magazines will almost always do a holiday gift guide. In April, they'll have an eco-friendly products feature to celebrate Earth Day. March is their big spring fashion issue. May is Mother's Day, and so on. So I was able to pitch my product based on these general themes that I knew almost every magazine would be working on by looking at their editorial calendars. And obviously this took some time to figure out and to learn and to get a system going, but it definitely helps to get my t-shirt featured in all of these different magazines. And sometimes I would get rejected. Sometimes I would get no answer. Sometimes they would say, yes, we're interested, send us samples. And it really was such a big learning curve for me trying to figure out what was working and what was not working.
So I'm curious, with the editorial calendars and the way magazines work, is it true that, for example, if you wanted your product to be featured in a holiday gift guide, that you would want to submit that product to the magazine in July? Is that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is exactly true. So all of the top national magazines that are monthly, they work about 3 to 6 months in advance of the publication date. So for their holiday gift guide, you would have to submit in usually it's like late June through mid-August that they're looking for holiday gift guides. And some of them will stop their product search at the end of June. Some of them will look mostly in July. So it kind of depends on each magazine, but that's usually the time frame. And I kind of learned this through some of the things that I was reading online, but oftentimes I would pitch magazine editors too late and they would say, oh, hey, we love your t-shirts, but we closed our holiday gift guide or our Valentine's Day gift guide. We finished that about 3 weeks ago. So a lot of it I learned from what they would write back to me and request or let me know that they've already closed working on that feature. So, but yes, they do work about 3 to 6 months in advance at the big national magazines.
As your t-shirt business began to grow and you had it in stores, but then you also had it online, what was the percentage of your sales from each source? Was it your wholesale orders that was driving most of your sales, or was it your online presence?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when I first started, because I was so focused on those yoga studios, about 85% of my sales were from wholesale. And then about 15% or so were through my website. But as I started to get more press and more national recognition, that sort of shifted. And by the time I sold my t-shirt business 4 years later, it was about 65% selling to stores and the rest selling retail through the website.
And do you have any other tips for product-based businesses that are trying to grow that online presence and get more online sales? Any other tips for them?
Yeah, I do. And I think online is such a crazy thing to navigate, because someone can't come to your website and feel how soft your t-shirts are, or they can't try them on to see how they look. So especially when you're selling something like jewelry or t-shirts or things that people might have to smell or feel or see in person, it's really important to create that experience online. And then I also learned early on about storytelling. And it's interesting because I remember reading one time that people really love to hear your story. And up to that point, I was really private. I mean, even just putting my name out there and selling online was a little scary for me. So I wouldn't have my picture on my about page, or I wouldn't say who I was or anything. And then I remember reading or hearing from someone that you have to share your story, especially if you are a smaller retailer, because if someone can relate to you, then they're more likely to buy from you and to trust you. And it's just people really love stories, especially online. So I thought, okay, this is really scary for me to do, but I have to put this out there just to try it and to see what happens. So I went back to my about page. I, you know, took a photo of me and my son, put it up there, and I told people why I started the business and how I started before I was pregnant, and I was inspired in a yoga class, and I do this to support my family. And I just shared a little bit of my story, and I remember, like, within days, I would start getting so many emails, and this was crazy. from people saying, oh my God, I can so relate to your story, or I went through the same thing, or your story is so inspiring, I just had to buy a t-shirt. And I was starting to see how, what impact sharing my story had. And it was still really scary to put it out there, say my full name, you know, say the city that I was from, and all of that. But it really helped people to connect with me. So I think if there's one thing that I would say, that any product or even service entrepreneurs, if you can share your story, and you don't have to say all of the details and get really personal, but talk about why you're doing what you're doing, what inspires you, and even the inspiration behind your designs or your product, I think oftentimes you are, that really helps to have that conversation with your customers and people who are coming to your website. So I would say just having your photo and a little bit of your story on a really nice about page on your website can go a really long way. And obviously the other things are to have really great photos that sort of show the lifestyle that you have. And I have to say, this was another learning experience for me, because at first I was taking my own photos and I would put them up there. And one time a magazine editor said, oh, hey, can I have high resolution of this photo? And I didn't even really know what that meant, but I was like, oh, okay, yes, you can. And she's like, I need it by tomorrow. So I was like, oh my God, what do I do? But so I was lucky enough that I had a friend here in Colorado who could quickly take some photos of my t-shirts, and I was able to send the high resolution photo to the editor. But after seeing her photos compared to the photos that I was taking, I was like, they don't even compare, you know, and her photos look so much better and so much more appealing than mine do. So then I asked her, I said, hey, can I pay you so you can take my entire product line and take some really great shots? And she said, yes. So once I put those much better photos on my website, again, my sales increased again. So, and even I would start even to get more press mentions and more interest because my photos looked better. So I would say definitely, if you don't know how to take professional looking photos, which I don't, but I know some people do, they have really great photo skills, but you want to make sure that your photos look really, really professional and they don't look like you just took a photo on your carpet or on your hardwood floor, you know, which sometimes we do see. And you want to put yourself out there in a professional or as much of a professional way as you can. And the other thing that, again, I didn't learn until later on, but when I first launched my t-shirt business, it was all about, okay, these t-shirts are made from 100% organic cotton in the USA, and we print with eco-friendly inks and all of that. And I would describe the t-shirt itself, and that's not really why people buy, I think. And again, it took me a while to realize, but oftentimes people buy things because of how it's going to make them look, how it's going to make them feel, how it might save them time or money, and so on. So once I started learning more about product descriptions and focusing on benefits rather than the features of a product, again, I made those changes on my website, and I would say things like, when you wear this t-shirt, you'll be inspired to do this, or this t-shirt might make you feel this way, and so on. And again, once I started doing that and focusing on benefits and how my t-shirts were going to make people feel or look, then again, my sales started to take off again. So I think product descriptions along with your product photos are really, really important in getting people to connect with you, because again, you don't have the chance to have that conversation with them like you might when they would walk into a store. And one other thing that I learned was that if you use the word you throughout your copy, as opposed to I or my company or my t-shirts or our product, and if you say you're going to love this or you're going to feel amazing, or if you just use the word you, that engages people in conversation. And again, they're more likely to invest in you and trust you than if you were making your whole website about you and your company, if that makes sense.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense, just having that customer focus and how you can benefit them. That was excellent advice on all three points there.
It reminds me of, on Seinfeld, how Elaine's job at the J. Peterman catalog was doing all those descriptions about when you're wearing the boots and you're walking down the street. I'm sure you're absolutely right. Framing it in the you and the how they're going to feel and how it's going to benefit them is so much better than the details. So
yeah.
A lot of our listeners have handmade products. Could you maybe talk about scaling handmade products, or maybe even handmade, the benefits and the cons to handmade versus manufactured products?
Yeah, and that's definitely something that a lot of handmade entrepreneurs come across. And it's interesting because when I first started my business, I considered screen printing my own t-shirts and learning how to do that. But because I had a young baby and I knew of the toxic chemicals and all of that, I was like, okay, there is no way that I would even want to attempt this. But I know a lot of people really enjoy making their products. And I think there still is a place for making your product if it's what drives you and if you really, really enjoy it. I know some people really, maybe they might really hate marketing or web stuff, and they just really take joy into making their product. So I think if anyone listening, if you absolutely love making your product, I don't think it's worth giving that up so you can make more money or so you can have more, you know, make more stuff and sell to more people. I really do think the most important thing is to enjoy what you're doing. And if making stuff is your passion, I really feel like you should build your business around that rather than around scaling. However, I do know some, you know, some of us have to support our families like I did, which is why I chose to have a screen printer and to have someone else make my t-shirts. But I think one thing that really helps when you're making your stuff, in addition to marketing your stuff and customer service and getting it out there, is if you set aside specific time to do all of the specific tasks. So I know sometimes, you know, you might want to do maybe make three pieces of your product here, then do something online, then go, you know, go to a trade show or do all of these different tasks in a day. And I know, and even research shows that the more you jump around from task to task, the less effective you are and the more time you lose and the longer it takes you to do something. So if you are also making your product in addition to selling them and marketing them, it's really important to set aside specific time every week to actually make your product. And you know that during that day or those few hours, it's really going to be the only thing you focus on, and no checking email, no, you know, no any of that. But I also do know that sometimes you can't make everything yourself, or your the ability for you to make your stuff sort of can't keep up with the demand. And I think in that case, it's worth looking into hiring someone to help you. And I know quite a few makers who have someone come part-time, maybe a few hours a day or a few hours a week, to help them make their product. And the products are still handmade, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to make every single one of them. And I think it's totally okay to ask for help. And as long as you still keep the integrity of your product and quality and everything you stand for, it's definitely okay to ask for help. And I think I saw with my businesses and t-shirt and all of the other businesses that I've had since then, that when you ask for help and when you invest in other people to help you, that's when you can really scale your business. And I think that can go for handmade products or mass-made products, really anything. If you want to scale and go to the next level, it's important to first start with batching your tasks and only focusing on one task at a time. And then when you sort of outgrow that, look into investing in someone else to help you. And I know sometimes it might be a stretch in terms of putting all of that money out there and paying someone per hour. But if you're feeling like maybe you can't afford someone, or you can't afford to hire someone to help you, then you can look at maybe increase your prices a little bit. I know a lot of handmade entrepreneurs and makers and women in general tend to feel like there's no way someone will pay that much and I can't possibly charge that much. And I have to say, you might still have those feelings, but if you want to keep your business going, you're going to have to consider charging a little more, especially if you want to scale. And you'll be surprised what happens. I know with my t-shirts, at first I started selling them for $28. And $28 is a lot for a t-shirt, right? It's not $9.99 or $15. So it is quite a bit of an investment. And it took me a while to be okay with that price. But then when I realized that at that price, my business was not going to be sustainable and I wasn't going to be able to really pay myself or get better photos or do all of this PR stuff that I was doing, I experimented with increasing my price, and I raised my price from $28 to $32. And it's crazy, and I hear this all the time, but once I increased my price, my sales increased too, and people were buying more and valuing my stuff more. So it's really worth considering increasing your price so you can have this ability to scale your business and hire other people to help you.
I love that advice. I have to say I agree with that on increasing your price. And you're right, it does oftentimes increase the value of that product and the perceived value of the customer towards the product.
Definitely.
So, Andrea, I know you are always creating new content to help entrepreneurs and especially those who have product-based businesses to grow. So I'm curious, what do you have coming up to help all of those entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so this is something that I'm super excited about, and I do a survey once a year to my audience, and sometimes I'll ask on Facebook too, and I ask people what they're most struggling with, and one of the things that almost always comes up more than anything else is getting more sales on my website, and so I am really excited. I'm working on putting together a course on how you can make your website, have it in top shape, so that way when you do get traffic, those people are actually going to convert into customers. So it's a course that teaches you not only how to have the best website possible, but also how to get traffic to your website so that you can continue getting those sales. And we're going to focus on traffic from publicity, traffic from social media, traffic from podcasts. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can get traffic to your website. And I'm so excited to share all of my knowledge and put everything into one course to really help creative entrepreneurs to get more traffic and increase sales on their website, because not everyone wants to sell wholesale or sell to other retailers. So I think it's really important to have a steady stream of traffic, really great online sales, and it's the number one thing that everyone always asks or they want to know more about from my courses. So I'm finally really excited to be launching this.
That course sounds like it is going to be amazingly helpful. And you said it'll be May 2015 that it launches?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That sounds wonderful. Yes, I think you're right. That traffic building, that SEO, that getting the sales, getting people to find you is often a pain point for people. So I know it will be very helpful.
Yeah, no, it's and I've tried so many different things. I love experimenting, and by now I've worked with hundreds of entrepreneurs and have gotten their stories too. So it's just something I'm really, really super excited about, and I think it's much needed in when it comes to the online space and creative entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. Well, Andrea, we have learned so much from you today. It has been really fun learning about your story and then hearing all of your helpful advice for other entrepreneurs out there. As we wrap up, do you have any fun mom moments that you could share with us?
Oh, my goodness. Fun mom moments. Yes, I have plenty of those, but I would have to say one of the ones that I'm most excited about, I think my 7-year-old has seen me through my t-shirt business. I also launched a soap business not too long ago, and he's always seen products in our house and stuff, and he asks me about my website and what it is and what it means. And last summer, it was really interesting. He really wanted to make necklaces and jewelry, so he asked me to buy him a set of beads, and I, you know, went to the craft store, bought him a set of beads, and before I knew it, he had made all of these bracelets and necklaces and things, and he put out on a little blanket outside in our front yard all of these things that he had made with price tags. And I was like, what is this? You know, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I want, you know, when people come around our street, I want to sell this to them and do what you're doing. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, that is just the sweetest thing. And I didn't even tell him or tell him to do any of those things. And it was just so sweet to see. So I feel like even though when we think our kids aren't watching, you know, they're always learning and watching and trying to do what we're doing. So it was just a reminder for me that it's really important for me that my kids see that I love what I'm doing and they're involved in it and they see what I'm doing. And it was just really great to see that I had inspired him to do that.
I love that. That is such a sweet story and such a sweet compliment.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I even took a picture of it. And I sent it to all my friends. I was like, oh my God, look what he's doing. He's going to be an entrepreneur before you know it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Over at our house, Holden always wants to get on the podcasting microphone, and that's my 4-year-old, yeah, and he loves it. He'll say, welcome to the Brilliant Business Mom podcast. So it's pretty funny.
Awesome.
Well, thank you again, Andrea. We really did learn so much from you, and thanks for letting us pick your brain. And where's the best place for our listeners to find you?
Best place would be at my website, which is launchgrowjoy.com.
Wow, Andrea sure knows her stuff. If you would like to learn more about growing your creative business, there is a new online conference that's happening May 14th through the 16th of 2015. It is called the Maker Mentors 2015 Conference. It is for creative business owners, and Andrea Ayers is one of the 20 speakers that is lined up for this live online conference. You'll hear from 20 different creative business experts, and you can have live chat with these experts after each session. Once the conference is over, you get lifetime access to the recorded sessions so that you can rewatch them at any time. Bethann and I will be attending this conference, this live online conference. And if you are interested, I have a special coupon code that you can use. This is an affiliate code, so it's a coupon code for you, but it is an affiliate link for us as well. And we will have the link to this online conference, the Mentor Maker Conference, in our show notes. The coupon code is BBMVIP, and it's good for $50 off the conference price. The conference price is $200, but if you sign up by April 15th of 2015, you get a $25 discount. And then on top of that, if you use our promotional code, you get an additional $50 off. And that code is BBMVIP. So like Brilliant Business Moms VIP, which I think is a really fun coupon code to use. So if you sign up for this Creative Makers Conference by 4:15, you'll get the early bird discount and our BBM coupon code discount, which would make the online conference price $125 for all 20 live sessions and chat afterwards, lifetime access to the recorded sessions. And this is specifically geared towards people trying to grow a creative business. So handmade sellers, other types of makers, this is the conference for you. And like I said, Bethann and I are affiliates of this conference. We will be attending the conference as well. We're super excited about it because speakers like Andrea Ayers are lined up, Tara Gentile, plus many others. So I think it's going to be really awesome. If you're listening to this podcast episode well after the conference date of May 14th through the 16th of 2015, just be on the lookout for this to happen again. It certainly could come around again next year. So if you're missing out, I'm sorry that this is old information, but you might want to look for it coming around the following year. So once again, we'll have the link in our show notes, brilliantbusinessmoms.com/81. in the Andrea Ayers show notes. And if you decide to sign up for this online Creative Makers Conference, use our discount code BBMVIP and you'll save $50, which is pretty awesome. We hope to see you there. I hope you're having a fantastic day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.